Amen. You may be seated. Turn again, please, to Psalm 71. I do promise to be brief tonight at the end of the meeting. My text is verse 16 of Psalm 71. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. My theme tonight is the preacher's subject, or the preacher's message. The author of this psalm is unknown. Commentators have speculated. It may have been David. It may have been Samuel. Some have even suggested it may have been Jeremiah. The simple answer is, we don't know for certain. There is no title on this psalm as there is on others that identify the writer. For example, if you look at Psalm 72, there's a title of Psalm of Solomon. That psalm was written by David's son. But there's no title on Psalm 71 and no identifying features whereby we can say it was definitely written by this man or the other. However, whoever wrote the psalm wrote it in old age. You will see in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. You'll see in verse 18, now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. This was a psalm that was written when the psalmist was an old man. And yet in his old age, he was still active for the Lord. There are times when we grow old and there are certain aspects in the service of God we cannot continue to do and we feel our time has come to a close with it and we step back from and another takes the place in the way we related this morning with David and Solomon. But no matter what age we are, we should be seeking to do some service for the Lord, and the psalmist was still active. How do we know that? Well, our text says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. And going in the Bible is associated with serving the Lord. Jesus said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Telling the parable, the Lord of the vineyard saying, son, go work today in my vineyard. And the Lord says to the young, those that are saved, you are his son, his daughter in the faith, as it were. And he would say to you, go and work today. There's a work for you to do for the Lord. Don't waste your time at lesser things. Yes, there's duties to perform, pastimes to engage in, but primarily be a worker or a servant of the Lord and go and do it. In the Old Testament, hear the word of the Lord to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. So going in the Bible is associated with service for the Lord. And the psalmist is saying that he is going to go. He's going to serve the Lord. And when God says go, we have to go no matter how difficult the task may seem. And in our text tonight, the psalmist was determined to go for God. Will you go for God? Will you serve him? And as I thought tonight of our brother and sister as they go to Rishark and they're going there for the Lord. And like the psalmist, they need to go in the strength of the Lord. If you go in your own strength, you will fail. If you go in the arm of the flesh, you will fail. And that is applicable in any area of service for God. If you go to do something for God in your own strength, by your own might, because you feel you have your own gifts or talents, you will fail. You need to go in the strength of the Lord. And the Lord has provided strength for those who He calls and whom He sends. And that strength and that power is outlined in Acts chapter 1. The verse 8, the Lord said to His disciples, "Ye shall receive power." That's what the servant of the Lord needs. That's what the Christian worker needs. That's what the individual Christian who serves the Lord, that's what they need. They need the power and the help and the strength of the Lord. And Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." If you're going to be a witness for God in the Sunday school, the youth work, in the community, in the workplace, witnessing for Christ and His salvation, if you're going to go and be a witness for the Lord in the ministry, then it's the power of the Holy Spirit that you need. And the Lord said, it's available. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And prayer is one of the means whereby we receive the Holy Spirit. For He gives the Holy Ghost to them that ask. And you can see in this verse, the psalmist, he's going forth to serve the Lord, to be a witness for the Lord. And he's going not in his own strength, but in the strength provided by the Lord. But I want, just at the close of this meeting, to highlight what it was the psalmist would go and do. He would go and make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And while that is to be the Christian's theme as we witness at home or in the community or through the witness of the church, it is primarily the preacher's theme and the preacher's subject and the preacher's task. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. That little phrase, it sets forth the essence of the gospel. Three things, and I'll be brief. It sets forth the essence of the gospel. I'm highlighting the phrase, thy righteousness. His theme would be the righteousness of the Lord. Now that little phrase could apply in two ways. When we speak of God's righteousness, the righteousness of God is one of His attributes. God is love. God is infinite. God is eternal. God is holy. God is righteous. That describes His character. He is righteous. And so His righteousness can refer to the attribute of God's righteousness. He is without sin. He is righteous in and of Himself. There is no sin or injustice within Him. But that little phrase or that statement in the Scriptures not only refers to the attribute of God's righteousness, but to the provision of God's righteousness for sinners in the gospel for salvation. You can see that it's connected with salvation in verse 15. "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation." You see, man in himself has no righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. You're born a sinner and you are unrighteous before God. And because you are unrighteous, then you are separated from God in your sin. And God can never accept any person in their sin because they are unrighteous. But that's where the gospel comes in. Because through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, God has provided a saving righteousness for sinners. In the gospel, there's a couple of verses. There's many we could look at. But let me turn you quickly. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. There's a verse here that's often misunderstood. And it's verse 4, but let's read verse 3 first of all. For they, that is the Jews in the times of Paul, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and there's the statement. That's not the attribute of God's righteousness. That's the provision of righteousness for salvation for the sinner. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And here's a statement we should note at this point. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you see the word end? It means fulfillment or conclusion. And many misunderstand this verse and say that, you know, Christ has done away with the law and it is no more reference to the Christian. And yet, that misses the whole point of the verse. Christ is the fulfillment of the law to provide righteousness for everyone that believes in Him. He fulfilled the law in His perfect life. He lived for sinners. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He perfectly conformed His life to the law of God. And He lived a perfect, righteous life. And then upon the cross, He took our sins in His own body to the tree. And He suffered the penalty and punishment for those sins, bearing the penalty of the law. When the law is broken, there is a punishment for it. And Christ took our punishment in His body in the tree so that Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, He who knew no sin was made sin, that we, those that have believed in Him, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And for everyone that believes in Jesus Christ as their substitute, as their sacrifice, as their Savior, the righteousness that He procured and provides through His sinless life and through His death, whereby He paid the punishment for us breaking the law. And because He has paid the debt, we can go free. There is a robe of righteousness that He gives to every believing sinner, that when God looks upon them, He sees them not as unrighteous and filthy and defiled in His sight, but He sees them as righteousness because they're clothed in the righteous garment of God's salvation provided by Christ. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you wearing the robe of righteousness and the garment of salvation that Christ has provided in the gospel to save your soul, that you might be accepted by God? Have you believed in Him to the receiving of that perfect righteousness? And tonight I say to Stephen, as one who will be ordained to the ministry in 10 days' time, that's the theme of the minister. The righteousness of God in Christ, provided through Christ for the salvation of sinners. I will make mention of thy righteousness. That's what the minister is to preach. The gospel of salvation. But this little phrase in Psalm 71 and verse 16, it not only speaks about the essence of the gospel, it speaks about what I describe as the exclusivity of the gospel. In other words, this is the only way of salvation, and therefore this is to be the preacher's only theme in relation to the salvation of the soul. And he mentions that in verse 16. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. This is the only righteousness I preach as a means of salvation. Why? Because there are others' righteousnesses that men trust in and put confidence in for the salvation of their soul. Turn again, maybe you're still there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. And did you pick up a little point in verse 3 where it says the Jews in Paul's day, they were ignorant of the righteousness of God. They being ignorant of God's righteousness. They didn't understand that God had provided a saving righteousness for sinners in Christ. And they go about to establish their own righteousness. The Jews were not atheists. They believed in God. They believed that God was holy and just, and that to be accepted of Him, they had to have a standard of righteousness. But here's the mistake they made. They went about to establish their own righteousness. And how did they do it? We'll flick over a couple of pages or little books in the Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And Paul gives personal testimony. He speaks about the time before he was saved. And then he speaks about being saved. And he said, if we have confidence in the flesh, he could have confidence also, verse 4. For he says in verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. He sought to live by the rites and the rituals of the church, the Old Testament, or the Jewish church. He went through the sacrament of circumcision the eighth day. He was of the right family and tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. He studied the law. He was a Pharisee. He gave himself to all the rules and the rituals of Judaism. He had a zeal for Judaism, persecuting the church, and he sought to live by all those rules and laws of Judaism. But when he met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, he realized that that wasn't enough. Do you know why it's not enough? Because in Romans 10 and verse 5, Moses is quoted that he that liveth by that rule, he must keep the entirety of the law. Let me read you the verse. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Do you know the problem, the reason why men can't be saved by their own good works? And you can't get to heaven by your works of righteousness? Because you can't keep the law in its entirety. When you sin, you break the law and you're a transgressor. You can't perfectly keep the law of God. You're a sinner. And therefore, your works of righteousness can never provide you the righteousness that you need to be accepted by God. But look at Philippians 3 and verse 9. He says, My desire is to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I long and I want now to be found in Him and to have that perfect righteousness which He gives. For He kept the law perfectly on my behalf, and He paid the penalty of the broken law for me at Calvary. And He gives that perfect righteousness to me the moment that I believe in Him to the saving of my soul, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's salvation. My friends, the problem today is that there are those, and they're religious and they're sincere, but they think that they can get to heaven by their own works of righteousness, by living by a moral code, by attending church, by observing the sacraments, by doing the best they can to be a good neighbor. But it doesn't deal with their sin. They're sinners before God. And they need a better and a greater righteousness than their own. They need the righteousness of Christ, received by faith alone. I ask you again, have you received it? Has there been a moment, a time in your life when you have put your faith and trust in Christ and His righteousness has been imputed to you or granted to you? The biblical picture is that you're clothed in the robe of righteousness. And God sees you as righteous in His sight. Have you had that experience? The psalmist said, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even mine only. And that's the preacher's charge. We're not to preach that you can get to heaven by your own works. We're not to preach that you can please God by works of righteousness which you can do or be accepted of Him on that basis. That's what the apostate does. That's false religion, the religion of works. But no, the Bible presents the gospel of salvation, and the preacher is to preach His righteousness only. The hymn writer, I think it was Charles Wesley who wrote this hymn. And this is to be the preacher's theme. His only righteousness I know. His saving faith or truth impart. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. It's a setting forth the righteousness of the Lamb of God, provided for the salvation of sinners. And I want you to notice one final thing in closing. This little phrase speaks of the essence of the gospel. The righteousness of Christ for the salvation of sinners. The exclusivity of the gospel, that salvation is exclusively found in His righteousness. It speaks about expressing the gospel or the expression of the gospel. I will make mention. That's the task of the preacher. He would use his tongue and his mouth. It confirms that little phrase, I will make mention, confirms that when the Lord calls and sends men forth and tells them to go for Him, He sends them to preach. It's preachers the Lord wants in His church, not performers. And why is that? Because it's the preaching of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, that brings men to an understanding of the gospel and to salvation. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Paul said in Romans 10:13-14, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? Men can't call upon the Lord for salvation. They're promised it. Men are promised salvation by the Lord if they call on Him for salvation. But how shall they call if they've never heard of Christ and His righteousness? How shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why the Lord wants preachers and calls preachers in His church, not performers or entertainers, because it's the preacher who makes mention and proclaims the saving righteousness of Christ for the sinner who believes and is willing to receive Him. And therefore, the preacher is never to deviate from the divinely appointed means of making mention or declaring and preaching the gospel. No matter how hard or difficult the days become, no matter how strange the culture is, or no matter how ignorant the world becomes to the gospel, the world might say, those Christians, they're mad. They could get a little look in and there's one man in the pulpit and he's explaining the Bible and he's getting excited about it and he's applying it forcefully to the people there assembled. They're mad. Well, we're fools for Christ. But God has said, and it has been proven true for over 2,000 years, that when the gospel is proclaimed, sinners will hear. They will understand and they will believe. They will be saved and added to the church. And for my own soul, I say to Mr. Nelson here tonight. I trust and pray he'll go in the strength of the Lord. And his constant theme will be making mention, preaching the saving righteousness of Christ to sinners, and it only for everyone that believes is justified and receives the righteousness of Christ for their salvation. We trust tonight that God will bless His Word and that He will bless you and your dear wife as you go to Resharkin. May the Lord bless us tonight. Let's close in a wee word of prayer. Remember, as we're exiting the church, how that is carried out. And Stephen and myself will go to the door and we'll just greet you as you leave. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the righteousness of Christ. We thank you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that the just shall live by faith. We pray this evening that any who are yet relying and trusting in their own righteousness and trying to live by a moral code or the law, that, Lord, they'll see their efforts are futile and will fail. They're sinners before God. They can never keep the law perfectly. And that they will call upon the Lord, that He will save them and provide them with that righteousness of the gospel. Bless Thy servants as they go to County Antrim. We pray that Thou wilt go with them. Do not fail them nor forsake them until they have finished the work of the house of God, which Thou hast called them thereto. Part us tonight with Thy blessing. In Jesus' name.